Today's episode of Part of My Take is brought to you by Nature Box. What do you do when you want a snack, but all you can find is junk food? You rely on self-control to resist temptation? Please. You're probably like me, eat that junk food. But at Nature Box, you can start snacking healthy. Nature Box makes snacks that actually taste great and are better for you, created with high-quality ingredients that are free from artificial flavors or sweeteners, so you can get that great feeling about snacking. My personal favorites, and you guys can probably trust me here because I'm a fat guy, the Mini Cocoa Belgian Waffles. Ooh, that sounds good. Honey Crunch Crisps, Aged Cheddar Lentil Loops, and the Salt and Vinegar Veggie Chips. They all sound great, and that comes with Nature Box. They recently made their service even better. Now you can order as much as you want, as often as you want, with no minimum purchase required, and you can cancel any time. It's simple. Go to naturebox.com and check out their snack catalog, and I have an offer for you. Right now, you'll save even more. Nature Box is offering Part of My Take fans 50% off your first order when you go to naturebox.com/PMT. That's naturebox.com/PMT for 50% off your first order. naturebox.com/PMT. Think about it. I'm giving you half off food right here. Come on, do it. naturebox.com/PMT. Today's episode is also brought to you by a big fight on Saturday, November 19th. The world's best pound-for-pound boxer will be crowned. Sergey Kovalev, the WBO, the WBA, the IBF, light heavyweight world champion, and Andre Ward, two-time world champion, will collide for the unified light heavyweight world championship. Their hotly anticipated fight will be only the third bout in the history of the Ring Magazine pound-for-pound list to pit two undefeated top five rankers, ranked pound-for-pound fighters against each other. Odds makers and pundits have this fight evenly matched at 50-50, and it is poised to be a surefire 2016 Fight of the Year candidate. PFT, what do you got?
I was just going to say, odds makers and pundits have been pretty dead on about you most know of their
it.
Predictions.
You
recently.
Know it. Neither man has faced an opponent like this before. Who will be the next pound-for-pound king? Don't miss Kovalev versus Ward Saturday, November 19th, 9 p.m. Eastern, 6 p.m. Pacific for Michael Rapaport out there. Live on pay-per-view. It's going to be awesome. I'm going to bet on it. I'm going to watch it. Order it now live or get yourself ready Saturday, November 19th, live on pay-per-view. Let's go.
It's Part of My Take, presented by Barstool Sports.
Welcome to Part of My Take. It is Wednesday, November 9th, and the illusion that Nate Silver still has hair is gone.
It's dead even.
It's dead.
Yeah. Rough night for all the stats guys out
there. Sabermetrics guys, us, you know.
As a Sabermetrics guy, I got to say, you know, I was paying attention to the numbers beneath the numbers,
right,
if you will. And so that bore out. One fun fact coming out here, Hillary going into tonight.
Yeah.
Guess what her odds were?
What were her odds?
3-1.
Oh, yeah. Boy.
So I got a little, well, that makes sense for you. The Cubs, Cavaliers, and Donald Trump, all winners.
Yeah, I
that makes sense.
I threw that out there. What would it take to, what would it have paid to parlay a Cubs World Series and a Donald Trump presidency in 2015?
What do you think?
I don't know, but I would have been rich.
It probably wouldn't have even gotten odds on that.
No, you probably wouldn't have. So Nate Silver, big miss on him. He had a 70% chance that Hillary would win. Stunner, Donald Trump is your next president of the United States. Nate Silver also predicts that the Jaguars are going to have the best draft class in 2017.
And 18.
The Texas football is back. And then Marvin Lewis is going to win a playoff game this year.
Well, the nice thing about Nate Silver, and I think it's important to remind people, Nathan Silver, that literally translates to born in second place.
Oh.
So just put that sabermetric under your cap.
Yep.
Nate, his whole model is great. what he does is he puts out the percentages. That way he's like, well, I had 30 out of 100 times if we ran the simulation. It's basically, you know, almost a coin flip.
Right.
So I can't be held responsible for that.
They also have multiple models. They do the polls plus and all that stuff. So that makes sure that no matter what happens, they had a poll for that. Mm-hmm. They had a poll for that. We got an app for that. They had a poll for that. Nate Silver, though, his hair went viral. I've said it a million times. Guys out there, if you're going bald, just go toupee.
Bake it.
The toupee is a classic look.
Mm-hmm.
Classic funny look.
So Donald Trump is now the first president-elect to be a second president-elect to be the former owner of a sports team. In fact, doing the sabermetrics right now, 66% of the time in the new millennium, we've elected owners of sports teams.
Yeah, people forget that George Bush owned part of the Texas Rangers.
That's right. Mark Cuban maybe up next. Dan Snyder, if we're lucky. Hey, what if, and I'm just spitballing here, what if Donald Trump, he holds out for more money, more tax money, and we don't give it to him, and he moves the United States to, like, Canada or to Russia or somewhere else?
Hey, Donald Trump, you pay for your own fucking stadium, man. I'm thinking maybe Mark Davis, if we can,
ooh,
fingers crossed. Mark Davis runs for president.
President Davis.
Anyone can be president now. That actually is, you know, you grew up as a kid, and your parents probably said that to you. Hey, if you dream big, you can be president. Well,
yeah.
Anyone can be president now.
Yeah, all the 8-year-old white kids out there. Hey, you can do anything if you're a white guy.
Yeah.
He's the first white guy in United States history to be elected president after a black guy.
Probably have to go to Harvard or Yale.
Mm-hmm.
But other than that, Wharton? Yeah, Wharton or Princeton. But after that, you could be president. Everyone knows we don't really get into politics. We like to keep the lighter side of things, but obviously
we got to talk about it.
The presidential election, yeah. And I'm just going to say this: I can sense my Canadian accent is seeping into this whole thing. I need to shake it.
I can see how all the hockey players, they, you know, play a couple matches up north of the border. All of a sudden, they're talking about Tim's nonstop.
Yeah, so
we need to figure out a way to shake. You know how they say you should scare yourself to get rid of the hiccups? What do you do to get rid of a Canadian accent?
I have no idea. Maybe
eat spicy food.
Go mug someone.
Yeah, do something very anti-Canadian. Also, I think we need to start talking to Hillary Clinton in the light of, does she have the clutch gene? Because she's
big time loser.
She's taken a couple big L's on a national stage recently.
Yeah.
Does
she lack it?
She's the Dan Marino of politics.
That's a great analogy.
Did Dan Marino, did he have a wife that, like, cheated on him a lot?
Huh.
I don't know. I'm just making that up right now. Yeah. But
he's got a lot of steakhouses.
Yeah.
So maybe that's what Hillary, you know what? Hillary, spin zone for you. You lost an election that seemed like it was unlosable for you. But now, if you want to make a fortune, go open a couple steakhouses down in Miami.
I love it.
Hillary Clinton Steakhouses rolls right off the tongue.
Hillary's Meats.
Hillary's Meats.
One other thing. I think the great news for this country is finally we're going to lock that son of a bitch Rafael Cruz up for assassinating JFK.
Oh, finally. Yeah. We're going to put that to rest.
Mm-hmm.
We've been waiting.
Close the case.
Oh, did you actually see that? To kind of segue into that, is Chris Matthews his name? I'm not a political guy.
The hardball fella.
Yeah, so he had a little anecdote. Did you see that today? He said that John F. Kennedy, he said most politicians don't like to watch the polls. They like to, you know, maybe go out to dinner or do something. John F. Kennedy once, during a West Virginia primary, went and saw a porn movie.
Oh, okay.
So if we can maybe give a posthumous, is that right, the word?
Posthumous, yeah.
Posthumous.
Posthumous. Posthumous.
Man card to John F. Kennedy. That's a guy's guy right there. Big night. You know, all the nerds are counting all the ballots. You're out there watching some porn.
Stroking it in public.
People forget that you used to have to go and sit next to a bunch of people to watch your porn.
That's really, really creepy. Hank, what do you think about that? That's so far away from anything you've ever known.
I mean, it's far away from us, too. But, yeah, that's crazy.
It's incomprehensible.
It really is. You sit in a movie theater while a guy jerks off next to you.
I think we also need to talk about what this election means for the New England Patriots. We got to tie everything back to the Pats, right? Because Belichick and Brady gave their endorsement. So they're set up pretty well. I don't know if Trump can, like, pull, you know, some extra strings to make sure that the Patriots continue their winning ways. They need all the help that they can get.
Yeah.
So,
Hank's
sitting pretty over here.
Hank's giving you that side eye. The other big news from the election night, and this is as – so we talked about being – say our fellow sabermetrics out there, sabermetrics guys got it wrong.
Mm-hmm.
That's what happens when you put your neck out, though. You got to be careful. We also have our sports journos, guys. They are pissed because this was the tweet I saw this morning from Ralph Russo from the AP, Election Day. Or as sports writers call it, the day the news desk gets pizza for doing what the sports desk does every single night.
Mm-hmm.
So we know we work long hours, and we're not looking for a pat on the back. No, we're not looking for free pizza. But all these nerds, these poli-sci nerds, probably didn't even kiss anyone in college. Every 4 years, they get free pizza. It's fucking bullshit.
And we're out here talking sports, okay?
Yeah. This isn't
This isn't something easy like trying to find meaning in an election.
Right.
All right? We're talking about the real shit.
Right.
We're talking about who's cheating. We're talking about if certain college teams could be professional teams.
Right.
Okay? So maybe walk a mile in our shoes before you start bragging about your nerd prom once every 4 years, all right?
It really is a nerd prom.
Yeah.
That's a perfect way to put it.
And so what we do, we have jock prom three nights a week.
Yeah. We just, guys can be guys, we fart.
And we take the nerd prom's nerd dates, and then we shove the nerds in the lockers.
Yeah.
That's what
exactly.
We do. Okay?
It's like Nick Cage in The Rock.
So Ralph Russo got it right.
I married the prom queen.
No. Yeah. Winners go home and fuck the prom queen.
Yeah.
We'll bleep that out. That was a hard F.
Yeah, that was a hard F. What else we got from the election night? I mean, you know, we were, like we said, we were the Canadian guys, which actually turned out to be probably the best timing ever because the Canadian tourism website crashed. People were Googling how to move to Canada. Well, guess what? We made a whole video about it on Monday.
Mm-hmm.
And if you want to watch it, you can check it out at the Barstool Sports app or Pardon My Take on Twitter. So yeah, we won the election.
Good job us.
Yeah. Hey, good job us.
Sad night for our friend Mr. Portnoy.
Oh yeah.
And Max B.
Recurring guest.
Max B might not get any dinner for the next couple nights.
Mr. Portnoy, I think he had a heart attack on air. I feel bad for him. That's tough. Although Mr. Portnoy has admitted many times that he's been obsessed with Donald Trump his whole life.
Mm-hmm.
If Donald Trump loses, he kind of goes away a little bit, maybe. Now he can keep his obsession. You know, you didn't want to see him lose that.
Yeah, that's a good point.
Yeah.
That's a great spin zone for Mr. Portnoy.
Yeah, like when old people have a certain amount of anger in their life and they build it up, if you just let it go, they'll probably die.
Mm-hmm.
So Donald Trump probably saved Mr. Portnoy's life tonight.
What's that poem? And then he wept because there were no more kingdoms left to conquer.
Right.
So
it's like, okay, well, I don't have anything to be angry about about anymore.
It's like when it was, Adams and Jefferson that died hating each other, and their feud kept them alive, and then one person found out that the other guy died,
mm-hmm.
and then he was like, well, I can't survive then because I have no hate left to give.
Yeah.
So, shout out to Mr. Portnoy. One other little silver lining here about all this news coming through, and we hate talking so much election, but we're gonna do a little bit of it. Now is the perfect time. If you have any unpopular opinions that you want to just put out there, because there's an avalanche of information, so you can kind of just slip it in, do a little confession, and no one's going to notice.
Right.
We could also make our predictions for 2020.
Oh, good call.
Yes, Hank. I like that.
Okay. I'm going to say, what's his name? Cory Booker.
Okay.
Actually, you know what? I'm going to take that back. That's the consensus. I think Donald Trump winning 2016... Kanye has a shot in 2020.
Yeah, he took mine.
Kanye 2020.
Yeah, he said he already was going to run.
I mean, he's more like people like him a lot more than they like Donald Trump. And Donald Trump won the landslide.
I think this is going to happen.
Okay. I'm going to go with Sly. I'm going Sylvester Stallone. I think this country, we're started down a path of celebrities.
Mm-hmm.
That path started with Schwarzenegger a long time ago.
Jesse Ventura was
Jesse
the original.
Ventura. I think the next step is Sly.
Okay. Hey, over there. Hey, Russia.
Hey.
I beat the crap out of Drago.
I'll do it
punch
again.
You in your mouth, all right?
Yeah. Hey, Philly. I got the Philly boat.
That's right.
Can you win 100% of a county? Because I think whatever county Philly's in,
if Hillary Clinton had won as much as Sylvester Stallone would have won in Philadelphia, she might be president.
Right. I also have one last thing I wanted to throw out there for everyone. A little stay woke. I've been getting deep on the internet these days. A little passion of mind. You guys hear about the Baba Vanga. Have you heard of her?
No.
She was a blind truth teller or whatever.
Soothsayer. Okay.
Okay. She correctly predicted the Boxing Day tsunami, 9/11, and Obama's presidency.
Oh.
Okay. So she's 3 for 3 there.
Were her only three predictions?
No, she was apparently like an 85% clip.
Okay.
She was predicting stuff. Here was her last prediction.
Wait, she's alive right
now?
No,
she's dead.
Okay.
She predicted all this stuff like 20 years ago. Here was her last prediction. In 2016, as we switch presidents, the current president is going to admit that there are aliens out there, which will probably spurn a world government because we'll all have to get together and be like, it's bigger than just us.
Yeah.
So spin zone, everyone. Donald Trump, president of the world.
I actually like that. I'm all in on aliens.
Yeah, I'm here for the alien invasion.
Yeah, right. So hey guys, if you're worried about this stuff, just remember Baba Vanga. Check it out. Bulgarian.
Spin zone, maybe, because there's that book that presidents have that everyone sees. Donald Trump puts it out there.
Wait. Back up a second. There's that book.
What's that
book,
Hank?
Presidents have.
Yeah, it's that book.
There's a secret.
Oh, I actually know what book he's talking about.
The book.
Yeah.
America's Book of Secrets.
No, it is. It's got Who Killed JFK.
Okay, yep. Yeah. Hank, I've seen that. Was that on History Channel?
National Treasure.
National Treasure. Okay. Yep. Nick Cage.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So Donald Trump, being the dick that he is, puts it out to the world. Everyone finds out about aliens. We have to come together and defeat the aliens instead of fighting with each other.
That's what I'm saying. Yeah. He's going to be the president of the world. That's not so bad, right?
And then at that point, if we defeat the aliens, Donald Trump becomes God, right?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Wow. And
listen.
What a story.
You want to believe it? You don't want to believe it? I don't care. Bulgaria, they do soothsayers. Mm-hmm. It's like they do a couple things. When did she die? In like 1996.
It's like Penn State does linebackers.
Yeah.
The linebacker, you.
Bulgaria does weightlifters, soothsayers, and that kid who like can stick a bunch of spoons to his body because he's lived too close to a power plant.
Yeah.
That's Bulgaria.
Okay.
So I'm just saying, everyone who's worried there, just don't worry anymore. There's aliens. There's going to be a new world order. And Donald Trump will lead us there. Let's do a quick ad before we get to Hot Seat Cool Throne.
Yeah, I want to talk to you guys about BetDSI. For those of us who love and live sports, this time of year is loaded with great events, okay? Baseball just wrapped up, but guess what? We got college football. We got the playoff that's about to kick into gear here. We've got NFL action, including Color Rush Thursdays. So you can just lay down money any day of the week if you bet on hockey, too. It's great betting overs in hockey. That's a little pro tip, okay? It's a great time of year to be a sports fan, and even better time to join us over at BetDSI.com. I play there myself. They're A-plus rated on most sports book review sites. They've got great service and offer odds on pretty much everything, including all the great sports we know and love. The BetDSI site is quick, the mobile access works great, and it's very easy to use. Playing there makes watching games a lot more intriguing, that's for sure. And guess what? As a part in my take, listener, BetDSI currently has a great promotion where you can actually try them out for free. So just go to BetDSI.com, use promo code TAKE10, that's all caps, TAKE10. You get $10 for free to play on whatever sporting and world event that's happening now, including like reality television. So that's cool. Once again, that's promo code TAKE10. Use that promo code and you're ready to go.
Okay, so let's do some Hot Seat Cool Throne. Who wants to start?
I'll get it going.
Okay.
Hot Seat. Humans. Okay? And I say that because Mark Cuban, he was in the news recently. He revoked those press passes for a couple ESPN employees,
mm-hmm.
a couple journos, capital J's. The reason why he did that was in protest of the fact that ESPN and a lot of other sites are starting to use these little scripts, automatic sports writers, robotic sports writers.
Oh.
So a software program that takes the numbers that happened during the game, all the stats, and just spits out a game report afterwards. And so Cuban...
Pretty sure those aren't robots. Pretty sure those are just guys who were paid like a quarter in India.
It's software.
Okay.
So
same.
This is my hot seat.
Sorry.
Okay. So Cuban is trying to fight the battle against the robots. Tip of the cap to him.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm just saying, look on the horizon right now. Humans are going to have all the jobs automated.
That's why I always say you.
First they came for the big capital J journos, and I didn't say anything because I was not a capital J.
Yeah, well, I always say that people say, you know, they need the umpires to become robots.
Mm-hmm.
That's the end of it.
That's the beginning of the end.
Although you realize we are the last to go because find me a robot that can tell a joke. So they won't kill us till they figure out how to mimic us.
That's good.
Okay. We're good for a little
bit. What about a fart machine? Those are pretty funny.
Mm-hmm. Whoopee cushion.
Mm-hmm.
That's a pretty good robot there.
This is a very nervous laugh on my part.
Okay. Right. What do you got your cool throne?
My cool throne is NFL officials. And the reason why is because everybody's complaining about him, and the NFL officials have such a sweet system set up that the answer to poor NFL officiating is to make them full-time employees. So everyone's saying, hey, what are these guys doing out here just being part-time? Let's pay them more. Let's give them more training. So yep. It's a good position they're in.
Yep. Hank, what do you got?
My hot seat are all the people that said they would move to Canada if Donald Trump won on record.
Big time hot seat. You got you people have like the list?
Sam Jackson, Rosie O'Donnell, Whoopi Goldberg, Stephen King, Lena Dunham, Bryan Cranston, Barbara Streisand. The list goes on.
Yikes. Okay.
It's going to be a tough one to come back from. See what they do.
Yep. Okay. Cool throne. Hank, did you say you're going to move to Canada?
Oh, my cool throne are people that don't do their taxes.
Oh, yeah. That's right. There you go.
Good call, Hank.
Good job, Hank.
So shout out to those people that don't do their taxes.
If there are any out there, hypothetically.
Theoretically.
My hot seat is Donald Trump's comfort. So he's moving into the White House. That's a downgrade for him.
Yeah.
That kind of sucks. Public housing for Donald Trump.
Do you think he's shocked? Do you think like he's going to wake up tomorrow morning like, holy shit.
Does he have the power to knock it down?
To destroy the White House?
I think so. I don't know.
To just be like, this place is a dump. Get out of here.
I think he could probably figure out a way to do
just
that.
Just make
it
a gold-plated.
Condemn it real quick, knock it down, and just build a gold house?
Yeah. So his comfort is on the hot seat. And I do think there's a part of Donald Trump that he, deep down, where he's like, oh, fuck. Like, this is going to be, like, being the president kind of sucks a lot. You know, you age presidential years, so Donald Trump, he's going to have to do a lot of spray tans these next 4 years.
You know how they always show, like, here's Obama 4 years ago, here's him now? Imagine that before and after of Trump, like what the hair is going to look like.
Yeah, the only thing worse than presidential years are blogger years. People know that.
Oh, yeah.
And then my cool throne rigged things because Donald Trump said that this election was rigged. He won. So we're just going to forget that it was rigged. So we're going to just cool throne that one. No more rigged.
But at the same time, couldn't Hillary be like, hey, Donald, you said this was rigged, right?
Yeah, right.
Hey, I agree with you. You were right.
Yeah. See, that's the old classic. Donald Trump was trying to, like, predicting that he was going to lose. So he was like, hey, this is going to suck when I lose. You guys all fucked me. Then he won. Whoops. So I don't know. I think we'll just throw it on the cool throne. No more rigged stuff.
Got it. What about the NFL?
No.
The NFL's kind of rigged.
Done. Goodell's off the hook.
Okay.
Rigged things are no more. Not in Donald Trump's America. So let's go to our interview with Ian Rappaport. He actually predicted this, right?
He did, yeah.
He called the president. We interviewed him on Tuesday afternoon, and he called it. So as first reported by Pardon My Take, and this is Ian Rappaport from the NFL Network. We now welcome on to the podcast, NFL Network, Ian Rappaport.
Rappaport
is French. Ian, thank you for coming on the show. You've actually been on the show before. You just reminded us that our good friend Uncle Chaps called you when we had him on as a guest. So this is your second time. So welcome. Let's start with an easy question. Why are NFL ratings down, and why is the league sucking so bad?
it's weird how this has happened, but it's kind of become like one of the stories of the season. And I get asked about it a lot, and I kind of started thinking about it a lot just because, you know, I love football. It's great. I watch basically every game at all times. So it's weird for me that somebody wouldn't be watching. And the fact that the ratings have happened, you know, have been down kind of across the board this year is something that is just an odd reality that I wasn't really ready for. And, you know, there's a couple of different things that I've thought about. One is, it seems to be a league a little bit in transition, right? So, like, Peyton Manning is no longer playing. Brady missed the first 4 weeks. There's just not a ton of, like, high-profile, must-see quarterbacks / figures, right? So, like, you know, there's no J.J. Watt, obviously injured this year. Romo hasn't played. And, you know, Carson Wentz and Dak are good, but just not quite the same people that draw in, like, the average viewer. So, you know, it seems to be the league is sort of transitioning superstars, and maybe that might, you know, affect the ratings. And you got, you know, Breeze's team struggled early, Rivers' team struggled early. I think that has, you know, something to do with it. I also think that, you know, there's just we in media, and me included, obviously, spent a lot of time over the past couple of years talking about off-the-field issues, and it was necessary and important. Adrian Peterson, Ray Rice, Deflategate, all these things. And it almost like, you know, it almost seemed like the on-field product and the on-field debates, arguments, analysis took a little bit of a back seat. And I feel like it's taken some time for all of us to be reminded that, like, it's fun to argue over, like, you know, who's a better quarterback, you know, Brady or Rodgers, or what. I mean, that's not a debate this year, but you know what I mean? Like, I feel like it's taken some time for the public to re-embrace the on-field product because we spent so much time talking about all these different off-the-field things for the last 3 years.
I couldn't help but notice that you didn't blame yourself at all there. I mean, it seems like you're blaming everybody around you, but you're not like, hey, you know, maybe America's reached its Ian Rapoport saturation point.
Yeah, see, I thought about that, but I'm growing on so many social media platforms. Like,
not to brag.
Twitter followers is up. I'm on Snapchat now. I'm crushing it.
Jesus only had 12 followers.
Instagram's remained steady, but, you know, what can I do? So.
No, I actually think you had a good point about the quarterbacks because the crop behind the Brady Manning is like the most boring crop, right? Matt Ryan's boring.
Yeah.
Joe Flacco's boring. Eli Manning is boring. I mean, they're good quarterbacks. They're just boring personalities.
And I'll give you this. Nobody tunes in to see Dak Prescott in the fourth quarter. Everybody tunes in to see Tony Romo screw everything up.
Right.
So maybe what the league needs is more bad quarterbacks so that we like to laugh at people.
The league needs more Richard Sherman and Rex Ryan saying fuck you to each other on national television. Mm-hmm. What did you think about that moment?
It was unbelievable. Actually, see, those moments are like, not that particularly was the good stuff, but those moments, like prime time, everyone's watching. Like at the end of the half last night when Twitter like exploded, you know, that's like when the whole world is talking about football, like that's the best stuff.
Mm-hmm.
It's just, you know, there hasn't been enough of those moments where like literally I stopped it. Everyone texts me at the same time, which is what happens when crazy things happen and there's only one game on. And I stopped it to rewind it to see what Sherman and Rex were saying to each other. And they're just, you know, there haven't been enough of those like, wow, am I really watching this? Like, let me stop and see it again just to make sure I had it right.
Mm-hmm.
There's just not enough of those this year.
Here's a free idea. And I may have said this before, but let's get Jay Cutler out to the AFC West so him and Philip Rivers get to scream at each other twice a year. That's another great one to watch.
So I sat next to a referee who remained nameless on a flight a couple
Gene
years
Steratore. Ago. Gene Steratore.
No comment. But it's a guy you know. It's a well-known ref who will not be named.
Triplett.
You know him. Huh. And
yeah,
it's Ron Boger.
It's Triplett. You hear him?
Okay.
It's not Walt Coleman. You guys know all the rest. It's impressive.
Yeah, we're football guys.
I'm a journo.
So my question was like, who's the most annoying? Right. I just wanted to know like who just like his team show. You know, you get your little schedule. Team shows up and they're like, crap, I got to deal with this freaking guy all game long. And the two answers of most annoying were Philip Rivers and Jay Cutler.
Huh.
And I was surprised about Rivers because, like, he's such a good dude. Like, in like real life, he is about as good of like human being as you can imagine. But on the field,
unless you're his wife, you're always pregnant. Just walking around with that.
Always, his wife is always pregnant. But he just is very annoying and like complains about everything. And Cutler is exactly what you would expect Cutler to be. Like, this guy told me a story of there was a flag, you know, not called in the secondary, and Cutler was pissed about it, and he just went 20 yards down the field and stood on the spot where the flag should have been until the referee came and talked to him about it. Just like stuff like that.
Okay, but in defense of Jay Cutler, we all know the referees hate Chicago. That's just a proven fact. So he kind of has a point on that one, no?
I feel like, well, yeah, you're probably right.
Yeah. Do you have any other good stories from your chat with Cleet Blakeman?
No comment. I'm trying to think if I have any other great, great stories.
I'll tee this up for you because I wanted to ask one other question about the game Monday night. Sure. The final play, There was clearly hit on a defenseless receiver and pass interference by the Seahawks. The Seahawks do this. This is what they do. They basically make the refs call calls in big moments in the game. If talking to the refs around the league, talking to other teams around the league, are teams thinking like we need to start mimicking this strategy because it works? They win games. They basically say we're going to grab and hold and have pass interference and force the refs to call it. So what is the league kind of reacted and what about the other teams around the league?
Yeah, that's an interesting philosophy. When I used to cover SEC basketball, this was always a thing I would watch is the team would just foul like freaking crazy for the first 5 minutes. And at some point, you're not going to call everything. So at some point, the refs are like, all right, that's just the way it's going to be. The Seahawks are very interesting because they really do. I mean, you're right. Like, are you really going to call Richard Sherman for, you know, hitting a defenseless receiver? And, you know, obviously the guy's scrambling, Tyrod's scrambling. So he's probably allowed to do that, probably. But it just does lead to a really interesting decision. I would be curious to see, you know, for most, usually the response you get for things like that, and the same thing happened when the 49ers receivers or the 49ers defensive backs all held. I don't know if you guys saw that.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so basically stopped to throw into the end zone. Most of the time people are like, you know what? That's actually pretty clever. Like, if you look at the rule book sideways, you figure this out, that's clever. And then the competition committee gets together in the offseason and they're like, yeah, we're just going to close that loophole.
Okay. So you kind of alluded to this earlier, but you said that you covered SEC basketball at one point. Can you walk us through how Ian Rapoport became Ian Rapoport household name and superstar?
I don't know about superstar.
The Twitter followers.
And the Instagram's popping.
There are a lot of Twitter followers. So when I do something like screw up, like make a grammatical mistake or talk about how Melanie Walker is active for the Titans instead of Delaney Walker, I get like...
Women don't play football. Come on. Let's go.
Stupid auto. They do coach though sometimes.
Yes. That's true. Oh, 2006.
So bigger question, why is your phone auto correcting to Melanie?
Oh.
Trouble in Paradise?
I don't think that's your wife's name, Ian.
Maybe it's not actually. So here's my quick history. I was covering high schools in New York for the Journal News. I got passed over for a job, which can you even believe that? Got passed over for a full-time job because I was.
Is that a height joke against yourself?
No.
Okay.
It's a poor joke because I was so poor and I had to live in my parents' house. It was terrible. Loved my job. Hated living. I mean, how are you going to bring girls back to your parents' house? Like,
it's a brag. That's a good excuse though. Good spin zone. Good. Yeah. Hey, I'd love to be pulling in tail left and right, but mom's up. So
I'd be getting so many more girls on this high school basketball beat. But damn, living with my parents' house.
And I drove a red Ford Mustang convertible.
Oh, shit. Pimping ain't easy.
Which was an automatic, which is the most ridiculous thing ever. Because I couldn't drive stick, but I liked the car. So I feel like I would have pulled a lot more, but then, you know, you're not going to be like, all right, come stay at my parents. Anyway,
right.
We got enough.
Okay.
So here's my quick thing. So there's a job opening to cover Mississippi State for the Jackson Clarion Ledger. You had to live in Starkville, though, so it was a good job covering the SEC for a statewide paper, but nobody wanted to live in Starkville. So I wanted to. I didn't care. I was 34 and single, and Starkville didn't have enough Jews, so moved down there, got the job somehow, 24 with no experience, moved down there, covered Mississippi State for 2 years, found myself a wife, Mississippi State student, covered Alabama for 3 years, Nick Saban came over. My life went upside down and crazy. The Boston Herald had a job opening to cover the Patriots. And you needed NFL experience, and I had none. So I wrote them a letter explaining how I covered Nick Saban and how I would then cover Bill Belichick similarly, a place with not a lot of information flows. They bought it. So I covered the Patriots for 3 years for the Boston Herald. And then 3 years in, NFL Network came and said, we want to hire you as a reporter. And I told them I didn't know anything about TV, and they said, that's okay, we'll teach you. So I got hired as a field reporter to move to Dallas, and then a year later I became our insider, and that is my whole story.
Okay. Well, that's a whirlwind tour. Do you have a cowbell?
I do have a cowbell. We have several cowbells. Mm-hmm. I have two sons. They both have cowbells. That's my first cowbell on. They're like mini cowbells, but they have one.
That can't be annoying, right?
No, it's the worst thing ever. And both of my children dressed as Dak Prescott for Halloween last year in his little Mississippi State jersey.
Was that was that before he got in a fight at spring break? Sending a pretty bad message there.
It was before.
Okay.
I think.
All right. Just making sure.
Fine.
Yeah.
Yeah. Which wasn't his fault. I mean, come on. Kind
of asking for it. You go to Panama City, you're not expecting.
Can't really take
a
punch either. So, kids, you're growing up your kids the wrong way.
Good thing he's got that offensive line. Doesn't need to take a hit now.
Right. That's true. So you spent some time in Alabama. Could they beat the Browns?
I do love the argument.
We don't talk about that enough.
No. That's one of my favorite internet arguments. Covering Alabama was literally the craziest time, craziest thing in the whole world. I would get death threats on like a fairly regular basis. Still, the hardest job I've ever done. The most intense. There was 9 beat writers there and 3 TV stations, 2 radio stations covering Alabama when I was there.
So
it is legitimate insanity.
At the end of the day, do you think that Saban thinks that he could beat the Browns? Though, I think he does.
I think he probably does.
Yeah, I actually don't.
Well,
it's tough because this year, I hate doing this argument, but their defensive line is that good.
I mean, all those guys are going to be in the NFL.
Right. Mm-hmm. So I think they keep it close. I would still give it to the Browns. I'm not going to go as far as to that, but I think it'd be closer than people realize. It wouldn't just be like a Browns win by 40 kind of thing.
I make fun of everyone when they have this argument, but at some point I would actually, it would never happen, but I would actually like to see it.
Yeah. See, we got you into it.
Yeah.
This is how we do with every single hypothetical debate that we have on the show. Like, we talk about Deflategate and how much we hate talking about it. Next thing you know, we're talking about it and we're actually fired up about it. Quick follow up here.
Most of my life.
Why do people tell you things?
I think of that a lot. So there's a couple different reasons, right? Like, some of them are, you know, you develop a relationship with people, you get close, agents, coaches, GMs, whoever, and they say, all right, you're my guy. Whenever I got something, you know, you're going to get it. And everyone has a couple of those. Just people who, when they get info, they just tell you.
They'll just be
you're cool with them.
They'll just call you up and say, hey, Ian, we're going to cut Trent Richardson. Thought you should know. Okay, bye.
Yeah. I mean,
that's pretty cool.
Right. There's some of those. And then there are others who, you know, you'll track a story and say, hey, I heard you're about to deal this guy. They go, oh, okay, we are. Don't say anything about it. It's not done. But you know, because you know about it, because you're not screwing us over, when we have it, you're going to break it.
That's blackmail.
And,
yeah.
You know.
You just described blackmail. So
a gray area. I would say that's a gray area.
Okay.
Right there.
We're journalists, so
some of that,
it's
and
a black,
course,
black area. It's called blackmail.
Yeah. Okay.
I don't really see colors like you guys do. To me, it's all.
It's all gray area.
I welcome all colors. But that's, you know, the problem with that is sometimes someone else screws you and breaks it instead. Mm. And then the other thing is, you know, there are some people who just really like to be the one providing information. So I'll get, you know, agents, coaches, personnel people, whoever, scouts, will say, hey, I heard this about this team. And you go, oh, wow, really? And you're like, yeah. I'm like, okay. And then, but you better track it down, make sure it's right. And then if it's true and you don't break it, they get pissed at you.
Mm-hmm. They're like, why didn't you trust me?
Why did this other guy break this and you didn't?
So who's the biggest gossip in the NFL?
Besides me?
Well, it's not you, because you're not telling me who the biggest gossip is.
That's true. the biggest gossip. See, I can't really answer that.
Okay, you don't give up your sources.
You'd be surprised at how many good, upstanding, like, general managers and executives love to just say, hey, did you hear this about, and they'll just drop something about, like, this piece of information that makes one of their rivals look bad. Hey, you might want to check this out. That happens a lot.
Get the rumor mill going. Mm-hmm. That's a savvy move.
Yeah. Love a good rumor mill.
Do you block people on Twitter like that baby back bitch, Adam Schefter?
I block people from time to time.
So you agree that he's a baby back bitch then, because you answered that question.
I did not accept the premise of that question.
Okay. That sounded like you did.
However, I do block people, but it's generally for things that are, like, when I screw something up and, like, you know, or you know, let's see. You say you're told someone is not going to play, and somehow they end up playing, which happens from time to time to everyone, unfortunately. You know, everyone reminds you of it. Sometimes I get pissed off and block people. But usually what I'll get really pissed off about is, like, let's say I'm on the phone and someone texts me. Let's say they text me and Schefter and some other reporter at the same time, right? It happens all the time. And I'm on the phone. I didn't see it. I'm in the shower, whatever it is. And I'll tweet it, and people be like, late. Someone else already had this first. Like, that pisses me off so much that I'll just block people for that. Because it's ridiculous. Wow.
But okay. I have.
I'm like, I'm in the shower. Like, oh. God.
I have noticed that, you know? A lot of times you and Schefter tweet out the same breaking news at pretty much the exact same time, but you usually beat them by anywhere between 5 and 15 seconds. So either you have a better cellular plan. I don't know if you got Verizon, he's got Sprint, which sucks, and so you get your text in a little bit quicker, or your thumbs are faster. Which do you think it is?
I would say when I am able to win a text off, which is the industry term, sort of a little text mm-hmm. battle. Like, agents will say, like, all right, we'll text three people, let's see who can get it out first. I have a great ability to literally ignore whatever person I'm having the conversation with, often my wife, and just focus in on the phone and typing. And you got to do the hashtags too, which I take the extra second to make sure I got my hashtag game
mm-hmm.
straight.
Mm-hmm.
And I feel like, especially during free agency, I feel like my fingers are really sort of in tune to what I'm trying to accomplish.
Yeah, Melanie's a lucky lady.
Hmm. Yeah. let's do a little. I want to do a couple quick real NFL questions here. What will it take for Jeff Fisher to get fired?
I would say it would take this year. It would take a real collapse.
What do you mean, like a real collapse? What the hell does that mean?
You know, it would have to be like we no longer have faith in this person to direct this team toward winning.
He would have to just not show up one
like
Sunday.
5-11? Like, I mean, what are we talking about? The team's awful, and he keeps – I saw your report today. You wrote an article about how they're not going to play Jared Goff until they're mathematically out of it. How does that make any sense?
There's only two ways that makes sense, okay? One is they're crazy. They're crazy and idiots and don't know what they're doing. The other way is he's not ready. Like, coaches always play. This is always, like, interesting to me. Coaches always play the best guy. Same thing with Bryce Petty and the Jets. If Bryce Petty was a better quarterback than Ryan Fitzpatrick, he would be playing.
Okay, but that's actually not true all the time, because John Fox was playing Brian Hoyer over Jay Cutler and pretended that Jay Cutler was still injured.
And then as soon as
no.
Hoyer,
yeah, as soon as Brian Hoyer got injured, Jay Cutler magically got better, and then he's a starter again. So I don't buy that fully. I think sometimes coaches will not play the best guy.
I'll tell you what, if Cutler plays like he did on, what was that, Monday night, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. If he plays like he did on Monday night, no one will have any, you know, shade about Jay Cutler or whatever you'd say.
Right.
Like, he looked great.
Right.
It's crazy that he can look so good. It, like, reminded me that he's a very good quarterback sometimes.
I agree. You know? I agree with that. So what's the second scenario for the Rams? He's just not good. Oh, they're just crazy? He's just not good.
Just not
okay.
there yet.
Okay. So, there. I lean crazy because Jeff Fisher, like, how can they keep...
Maybe Jeff Fisher just forgot what a really good quarterback looks like.
It's been a long time.
Yeah, and he's like, what the hell is this?
Yeah, hey.
I don't know about all that. It's
he's throwing the ball more than 10 yards. This is kind of crazy here.
Yeah.
It's been a while. But, you know, he did a good job. I mean, this is like a million years ago, but I'm sure everybody thought he was crazy when he sat Steve McNair. That worked out well. Like, mm-hmm. which
that's really the only example you can use, though. And that was like 20 years ago.
That's the classic Jeff Fisher argument. Every time someone's like, Jeff Fisher's a bad coach, well, hey, Tennessee, you know, that one time they lost the Super Bowl.
He sat Steve McNair when they were in Houston. You remember, he was the steady hand that managed the transition. So, no, I hear you.
I'm not going to defend Jeff Fisher, but I will say this. If the Eagles don't trade Sam Bradford, then Carson Wentz will have played zero snaps by now.
True.
So I don't think Fisher is crazy just for not playing him. It's just seen him hasn't quite been what they saw.
That's a fair point. What about Mike McCarthy? He's on the hot seat?
Yeah. To me, I just don't see it. I mean, I know things are not going great in Green Bay. Obviously, they're not playing great.
You think?
Yeah, duh. They don't look like the same. And Aaron Rodgers hasn't looked like the same either. So, but to start over, to give your franchise quarterback a completely new philosophy, I just don't see that happening. Like, who is going to come in and do a better job?
Andy Reid.
No, they're not.
Likes to throw the ball.
Has some history in Green Bay. Crazy.
Andy Reid comes home.
I mean, that would be
Chucky, John Gruden.
Loves cheese.
John Gruden. He's chomping at the bit to get back on there.
I don't think John Gruden will ever coach again. He has the best life ever.
True.
Can you think of anyone else who has a better life than John Gruden? He makes like $6 million a year, whatever it is, seven, eight. Works one day a week, plays golf.
Sounds like Obama.
Sweet house. Gets to second guess everyone. It's awesome.
You're right. That does sound like a pretty sweet gig. Is Chip Kelly going to go back to college soon or what?
I don't think he likes college that much.
I don't think Chip Kelly likes anything.
Yeah, what does Chip Kelly like? Yeah. Let's do that. That's an easier question.
He likes going fast.
He likes going fast.
True. It is amazing to me. Like, we were 3 years ago, if you asked about Chip Kelly, all we talk about is how he's a genius. Like, I don't think he forgot how to coach football. He just needs a better quarterback. I don't know. The Niners are bad, obviously, but I talked to a lot of people about, like, how bad they are, I guess. And there's a lot to like talent-wise for them. Defensive line's going to be good. Secondary's pretty good. Offensive line's good enough. A couple running backs are good. They just don't have a quarterback.
But
I think if he gets a quarterback, like, I think they're going to be fine.
But even when he had a quarterback with Michael Vick, right? Like, and you could say that Nick Foles was playing well in his system. I honestly think that system will never work in the pros. Because just like how Alabama can show up and you know, shove it down Oregon's throat,
right,
a team can come and they can play, they can control the ball, and if you don't get that first down with Chip Kelly, you're screwing yourself. You know what I mean? It's all about that first down.
And, you know, can they block? Like, if, you know, Stanford would come in and always used to beat Oregon because Oregon couldn't block them.
Right.
Right. So if you get a really good defensive line, can Chip Kelly's guys block them? I mean, I don't know. I would like to see. Here's what I would like to see. Him with that Eagles team from the first year, but with all the other defensive coordinators having seen his system for 4 years. You know what I mean? So, like,
right.
Can it work with good talent, or did everyone actually catch up with him? I don't know, but these are the nerdy things that I think about, because it doesn't make sense that he just became a bad coach.
Yeah, that does make sense. We've got a couple more questions, and then we're going to let you go. I know you're busy breaking some serious news.
I hope Adam Schefter just broke this. Jerry Jones names Tony Romo starter. Holy shit.
Whoa.
You seeing that, Ian? Are you seeing that? No, I got you, man.
Gotcha.
I'm just kidding. I got you.
Well, gotcha journalism on our part.
So so mean.
I just heard your heart stop. That was amazing.
That's one of the meanest things anyone's ever done to me.
Oh, man. That was actually really fucked up. I'm sorry.
Like, the people is really fucked up. People who know me really well, and there's not that many of them. I don't have a lot of friends. They never do that because they know that, like, hey, look what story just broke is not funny, because I'll have, like, legitimate heart attack.
Ian, what were you doing? I was,
I heard you. I heard your heart stop.
I was talking to Big Cat and PFT Commenter, and they were talking about my pretend wife, Melanie.
That was awesome. That was awesome.
Here's a tip for you.
Meanwhile, I've gotten, like, 8 texts since I've been on the phone with you guys, and all I want to do is, like, what in the world is happening? What am I doing? Anyway,
okay, all right. Okay, we'll wrap it up here.
So,
no, you guys are good.
So,
this is my one-off day, so theoretically I should be good.
There you go.
All right, well, we're recording this Tuesday night. The election's about to go down. It's going to air on Wednesday morning, so we want you to break.
The election?
No, the show.
Yeah.
Sorry.
So we want you to break the news. So just say, like, hey, this is Ian Rappaport of NFL Network, and I am the first to report that Hillary Clinton won, and then do it with Donald Trump, and we'll just use the correct call tomorrow morning.
I'm Ian Rappaport from NFL Network. Sources tell me that Donald Trump is our newest president of the United States.
Okay.
Wow.
That was good.
Called it. We recorded this on Tuesday night, or it's actually Tuesday afternoon, and Ian, you called it exactly right. That's amazing. That's why you're the best in the business. Let's go now to our final three questions. We ask everyone these same three questions. The first one, do you wash your apples?
No.
Oh, right. That's, you know what that is? That's for, that's Mustang Ian Rappaport right there.
I feel like I'm with some fruit I'll wash. Apple is ridiculous. I'm not like.
It is ridiculous.
Yeah.
Anyway.
Yeah. You know what, Ian? Don't take this the wrong way, but going into this interview, I thought for sure you were an apple washer. I'm happy that you've proven me wrong.
We got a whole stack of man cards, so we can deal you one off the top.
You don't even know me.
Yeah, I don't know you. That was a stunner, and I'm very, very happy. That makes me feel good about these final two questions.
All right.
The second to last question, who's the most famous person in your cell phone?
Oh, wow.
Is it Roger Goodell?
I'm trying to think of something I can say without ruining a source. Most famous person in my cell phone.
Who is it, Belichick? Do you have Belichick's phone number?
He's in there.
Oh, you want to give him a call? Let's give him a call.
Talk to him about Trump?
Come on.
I'm going to give him a call.
Please.
Wait, are you on your phone right now?
You have two phones, though.
No, I only have one phone. I don't believe in two phones.
Oh, Schefter has two.
It's crazy. Like, what would I do with the second phone? I can text on my computer. I can
text Melanie.
On my iPad if I need to.
Yeah, yeah. Where you put all the girls that you meet coming to high school basketball team.
Oh, here's a question. Oh, are you on the iCloud? Are you on iCloud? Texting with that iPad. Be careful there, buddy. Yeah. You don't want to get hacked.
I think I am on iCloud.
Oh, God. Okay. That's scary. Maybe get yourself off iCloud or change the password.
Oh, wow. That's surprising.
Yeah, you're going to break that thing soon.
I don't know. I don't go on the cloud. I stay away from clouds. The only clouds I go with are the ones I vape.
You're cloud guy, you're sun guy.
Hold on one second. I'm actually going to put out some news.
Oh, okay. Wait, can you tell us while you just type it? I mean, we're not. This isn't going to go till tomorrow, so.
Hold on one sec. Hold on.
Okay.
Hey, Ian, you still there? Hey,
yeah, hang on one sec.
Wait, hey, can you tell us it before you tweet it so that we technically broke it, even though the show's not going to air till Wednesday?
Sure it's true first.
Oh.
He's confirming.
Oh, geez. On your day off, no less.
It's not even a big thing.
What is it?
Hold on. Can I call you guys right back?
Yeah, if you tell us what it is.
I will. Hold on. I'll call you back.
Okay.
You don't want anybody.
I'm gonna do something that I've never done before. We're giving you. I was actually going to tweet it whenever you said it, but I'm not gonna do that. I think you should shoot your shot here because you can basically predict it by saying it right now, and it won't air till Wednesday.
No.
Okay. You have our word.
Nice try.
You have our word.
It's a guy cutting that you guys won't care about. I promise.
Hey, have you ever thought about?
I just want to make sure.
You ever thought about just making up a player's name one day with like some really boring news to see if you can slide it past anyone? And say, like, we've got a guy like Marcus McMillan didn't sign his 1-year offer sheet
with the Titans
with a Tinder, and there was some offset language, so he's rejected the offer.
No, but I do live in fear of someone giving me a tip and having it be completely made up from a person that doesn't exist. So if it's someone I have never heard of, I Google him or put him into the system 100% of the time just to be sure.
Okay.
Oh. So we're going to have to create a whole fake social security number, all website, that stuff, just to get you.
I'm going to have a kid.
ID, yeah.
And
yeah.
Then Google, train him to Google get to the NFL. Google.
Yeah. Okay. All right. We got it. All right. Final question.
Anyway.
Final question. Here we go. Question I'm going to ask that you have to answer. Who's your most trusted source?
I would say Chaps, probably.
Ooh. Okay, you've been how many times have you been Chapsed?
Zero times.
No, that's a lie.
Well, no, because Chaps zero would times. Imitate I mean, Ian. Ian oh, would yeah, be yeah. scrolling through his phone and be like, oh, I guess I broke this news.
Okay. But what? And then were you pumped when Schefter got chapped live on air? Be honest. Did we lose you?
I think we actually
lost him. No. All right. That was Ian Rappaport. We appreciate you coming on, Ian. What's that? Oh, Schefter is a baby back bitch. Damn. Okay. Well, first reported here. Appreciate that. And we'll hopefully have him on again sometime soon.
All right.
I'm having some beers, and they said Big Cat, and call never came.
I don't have your number. You don't follow me. You could follow me and mute me, and we could DM. We could be DM buddies.
Slide in the DMs?
I'll think about it.
I'm very stingy with who I follow.
I know, but just use that mute button. Just follow me and mute me. I don't give a fuck. And then we'll have a DM off. I'll send you some tips.
Join the people who think I follow them, but really I muted.
Right.
That's right. Yeah.
Right.
And we actually talked about this, and I said that I saw Schefter, or I saw Rappaport at the draft, or at the Super Bowl 3 months before, yeah. And he wouldn't drink Mad Dog with me. And so I figured you didn't drink, and you weren't cool enough to hang out with me.
Yeah.
I would say that's false.
Okay. Oh. Well, next time. Yeah. Next time we'll get blackout drunk and get arrested together.
Yeah. I'll break the news.
Sounds like a plan.
Yeah. All right. Thank you, Ian. We appreciate it. We would love to have you back on, so thank you. And hey, don't be shy about sending us a couple tips every now and then, all right?
All right. I got you guys.
Okay.
Enjoyed it. We'll do it again.
All right. Thanks.
Okay. Bye.
Thank you.
That interview with Ian was brought to you by DraftKings.com. DraftKings.com has a big fantasy football contest ready for you. Week 10, win some money. DraftKings.com, you can try their 50-50 contest where top half of all entries win cash, or just renew some old rivalries with friends and play them every single week. There's no season-long commitments to bus and bench warmers. You draft your new team on Sunday morning, and you're good to go. So don't wait. Start your new season at DraftKings.com right now. Use code BIGCAT, B-I-G-C-A-T, and play for free with your first deposit. That's code BIGCAT to play for free for your share of over $100,000 in total prizes this weekend. Only at DraftKings.com. Eligibility restrictions may apply. See website for details. Go to DraftKings.com and win that money. Maybe give it to your favorite podcasters. I'm just saying that. Wet the beak. DraftKings.com. Use that code BIGCAT. Okay, time for some segments. First up, we have a Just Chill Out Man. A Just Chill Out Woman. This one's for Dan Carpenter's wife after Monday night's tilt where Richard Sherman jumped into Dan Carpenter and kind of hurt him. Not really. I think he was kind of acting. But Dan Carpenter's wife, Kayla Carpenter, tweeted, "I know what we do on the farm when a male can't control his own rage. Lucky I'm not there, Sherman. Act like an animal, get treated like one." And it was a picture of the instrument they used to neuter bulls.
Mm. Just chill out.
Yeah. I just didn't need the picture.
Just chill out.
I didn't need the visual of a ball getting cut off.
I mean, you could put like a timeout chair instead and say, "Hey, this is what we do with our kids."
Yeah.
Hey. Maybe take a seat and time out for a little bit.
Yeah. See, hey, Richard Sherman, we're taking away your N64, man.
Yeah. Just maybe not show the big pruning shears.
You
got to
come home right after school, Richard Sherman.
Yeah.
Don't need to see his balls coming off.
Just chill out.
Yeah. Just chill. You know, when you see that picture, like it's like when someone gets hit in the balls really hard and you watch it, you get that.
You feel it yourself. Yeah. Yeah. Sympathy pains. Yeah,
yeah. Yeah. Sympathy pains. Men's sympathy pains.
That's, you know what that was? That was God telling us as human beings, like, you're all bros down there.
Yeah. We're all bros.
We're in this together. Okay. Yeah. When you see a guy get hit in the nuts, you feel it yourself.
Yeah. Bros. Bros for life.
So when I saw those shears, I instinctually grabbed my scrotum.
Like, oh.
I was like, oh, my scrotum.
Yeah.
So chill out.
Hey, Dan, ma'am. tell your wife bros before hoes or something. I don't know. Respect the biz for Kurt Schilling. He tweeted out a picture that, what did the picture? Someone was wearing a shirt?
It said, journalist, rope, tree, some assembly required.
Oh.
That could also be a just chill out, man.
Okay, and he wrote, okay, so much awesome here.
Mm-hmm.
So,
but maybe he's making a rope swing. Maybe he just wants.
Good point.
That's a great point, Hank, because he is a journalist now.
Yeah, he works for Breitbart.
Maybe it's just an autoerotic asphyxiation shirt, and he's like, hey, us journos, we love to crank it while we're gasping for air.
Maybe it's just like, hey, journalists, we work late, we eat pizza.
Mm-hmm.
How do you stay in shape? Tie that rope to a tree. Climb it four times a day. Get a nice little workout. Don't have to get a gym membership.
And then start masturbating like a maniac when you get your neck in there. Run out of air. It's like training at altitude, basically.
Yeah.
Having sex with a rope on your neck, makes you better.
Hey, this is good. This is something we've never done before on Pardon My Take. I'm taking it back. I'm taking our Respect the Biz and our Just Chill Out Man for Kurt Schilling back. Apologies to Kurt. We are totally on board with the rope to climb up, tie around your neck, and jerk off to, just to keep it light for journos.
Yep.
So thanks for that.
Only if you have a press credential, though.
Yeah. Man card. We got to take a man card, don't we?
We do. We got to take Tom Brady's man card. Oh, sorry, no. Hank.
That's
sorry.
Like, that's the ace of spades, right? Why?
Yeah. So Trump came out and said that Tom Brady voted for him, which he did. That was confirmed, I think, right? I believe.
I don't know. It's illegal to take a picture of your ballot.
That's a good point.
Ballot.
And then right after, somebody asked Giselle about it and said, hey, are you guys supporting Donald Trump? And she goes, no, we're not. So like,
hit it, Hank. You think when Giselle and Tom go out to dinner, she orders for him?
Oh, absolutely. You kidding me?
Oh, Tom will have the steak tonight. Tom will have the chicken, actually. He's watching his weight.
Yeah. What's up with that, Hank? What's up with your boy?
Tom just worries about winning Super Bowls, and I think he does a pretty good job of that. So his personal life is his personal life.
That's actually a fair Trump card. Get it?
That's good.
Trump.
Hey, Tom, you asked your wife permission to grab her pussy, too?
What an idiot.
Man card.
Okay, it's late. It's been a long night. Did we want to do a quick spoilers? We wanted to connect the dots?
Yeah, I have a big connect the dots.
Okay, let's connect it and then let's get out. We'll do spoilers maybe on Friday.
Okay, so here's where we're at right now. Donald Trump, president-elect of the United States. A lot of people are saying that a lot of people started voting for Trump. Demographics started to swing. People voted less for Democrats than they did in 2012 because of Obama. Obama was elected president in 2008. Before that, he was elected to the Illinois State Senate, where he beat some chump. But guess who didn't run against him?
Mike Ditka.
And guess who convinced Mike Ditka to not run against Barack Obama? Jay Mariotti. Jay Mariotti is going to be White House press secretary, and he's going to make sure that only respectable journalists get a seat in that crowd.
It all makes sense to me.
He was playing the long game. And you know what? I look like a fool for doubting Jay's long-term plans. He got me on this one.
Jay Mariotti, 2,000 Twitter followers, the guy who has half of the world blocked, he's the one who's pulling all the strings.
I was playing checkers, and Jay was playing chess.
Unbelievable. Last, we're going to do our spoilers maybe on Friday. You want to do it quick? Let's do it quick.
Let's do it right now.
All right, Air Force One, Harrison Ford. The plane crashes. He kills all the terrorists. He survives.
Well, that's a good one.
Yeah.
Hank, who do you got?
White House down. I don't even really remember what happens. I just remember he just killed every single person. It was a ridiculous action movie.
Sounds like we got a theme here.
Okay. Yeah. Mine is First Kid with Sinbad. So Sinbad gets offered the presidency because he saved a little kid's life at the end, as is customary.
Mm-hmm.
He turned it down, and then he goes back to his normal life of just hanging out and being best friends with a 10-year-old.
Oh, nice. Nice. Who amongst us has
declined the presidency and then just gone and hung out with her little underage pal?
Yeah, that sounds like a great movie.
It actually was a great movie. Run out and watch it.
Okay, quick housekeeping so everyone knows what the plan is for the rest of the week. Here it is. Tomorrow, check out on the Barstool app and also the Pardon My Take Twitter. We're going to have both our full Canada video, our PSA for everyone who wants to move to Canada, and our vape PSA. People forget that was a big issue this year, vote vape. And then on Thursday, instead of a usual Larry's Picks, we're going to do something a little different. We're going to change it up. We're going to release pick by pick on Twitter, little Twitter 15-second videos of Larry's Picks. So make sure you follow us on Twitter at Pardon My Take. And we're going to read some of your roasts while we do Larry's Picks. So you go to iTunes right now, rate us 5-star if you like us. I hope you do because you're listening to this. Rate us 5-star, leave us a roast, and you might get a shout-out on video, Twitter, on Thursday for Larry's Picks. So we'll release them throughout the day. And then Thursday night, we will have both of our exit interviews released, Kurt Menefee and the Frank Kaminsky-Spencer Hawes. Those are both great, so expect that in place of the usual Larry video. So everyone's on the same page. Make sure you subscribe, rate us 5 stars, leave us a roast, and we'll read it. Sounds good?
Sounds good. I love you guys.
Hey, we love all of you. Hey, and listen, don't worry. Hey, don't sweat the small stuff. Pardon My Take's not going anywhere.
That's right. Hey, I want to make sure that everybody out there knows, doesn't matter which party you are, doesn't matter who you voted for, you still need to tune in and subscribe and then unsubscribe,
yeah,
and then
that's
resubscribe.
Your duty. That's
you
your
got
duty.
To do that.
Yeah,
okay.
That's your duty to America.
Yeah.
Just so we're clear. All right. Thank everyone. Thank you all. And we will see you for the rest of the week.